First sign that you are growing spiritually is the expression of the nature of God, who is love, through your life. And marriage is a great platform to practice that. Marriage is blood covenant. You see, when people don't understand that marriage is blood covenant, they think of an exit route. They think of a back door that they can go through.
So you see, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Wives, submit your own husband as your head, right? For this is a symbolism of Christ's relationship with his church.
The questions. Hallelujah. All right. I have a co-host this morning, amen. And it's our dear first lady, Pastor Penny. Can you celebrate her? Are you sitting down to celebrate your pastor? Amen. You're welcome. Hallelujah. All right, you may as well keep standing. Amen. We have the honor and the privilege to have a very special couple in the house. Amen. Lovely, lovely, lovely and gracious people, full of wisdom. I'm not mistaken. They've been married for 24 years. 24 years. I got it. I tried. Amen. Almost 25, I guess. All right. Praise God. And they've been a part of us for, and let's say, Mama has been a part of us for like 2 years now. Amen. Hallelujah. And when Prof is in town, he comes around. This is family for them. I can say that. Hallelujah. Amen. And with a standing ovation and with Jesus' joy, make welcome Professor and Dr. Mrs. Duga. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Keep celebrating them. Keep celebrating them. You may be seated, ma'am. Hallelujah. Amen. You have a mic there? Okay. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Who's ready to hear about love? Let's talk about love. Kind of thing that people like talking about. It's good stuff, amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Okay, so our talk show, welcome, sir, welcome, ma. Our talk show today is going to cover both those who are single and those who are married among us. So the things that will be said, the questions and the things that will be discussed here will apply to the singles as well as the married. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, one of the things I've learned over the years is the fact that believers have to be equipped to live in their social and in their social context. Let me put it that way. That means it's not just enough to speak in tongues and lift up holy hands. The understanding of the practical things that we have to engage in. And in this context, we're talking about relationships, romantic relationships, and marriage. They are very important. Assumption that says the lowest level of knowledge. And a friend of mine will say, assumption is no knowledge. Amen. And I think I'm beginning to agree with him. But well, either is true. You see, you can't leave. Somebody say, I love you, you love me, man and woman, it will work. It's not true. Amen. There's a lot required. Hallelujah. And prayerfully, I want you to open your heart as the wisdom of God flows in this talk show. Prof and Dr. Mrs., they've pastored and mentored people over the years. They are not new in this thing. And to be married and have a wonderful marriage for over 24 years is remarkable. Amen. What do you think?
Yes,
all right. So, sir and ma, who do we start with? I say ladies first. I got you that one. Okay. I just wanted to ask, what were the three things you did that positioned you for a great home? Going back, I know it's a very long flashback, but time cannot change principles. Principles are universal. Principles are eternal, so to say. That means there were things that I knew that can apply to every single person who wants to get positioned for marriage. A lot of times people are just, ooh, let's get married, let's get married. They are not positioned for the marriage. They are just ready for the wedding. Amen. So I know it's a flashback, but the things at your fingertip, I really believe. What were the things, two, three things that you did or that you knew that positioned you for a successful home?
Thank you very much, Pastor. And I'm really glad that we are having this as a service.
Yeah.
Because sometimes we prepare people for everything.
Yeah.
But marriage is something people expect when you jump in, it will be all right. You need to be prepared. And I want to thank God for the worship, the praise and the worship. The atmosphere was awesome. It just lit everything up. Thank you very much. Three things. The first is growing up in God for yourself. I think that was the first thing for me.
God.
Because I remember asking God, I'm praying for a wife. And God asked me, are you a husband?
Mm.
Have you prepared yourself? Are you ready? And I discovered that the spotlight turned to me.
Mm.
I need to grow. I need to mature. I need to be a husband before I meet my wife, before I get married. So it took time for me to build myself without anybody prompting me. I knew I was preparing for something. Just like an athlete who is going for Olympics will take time to run and run and run and run again and run again until the Olympics. It's not the day of Olympics that guy starts running. He's been running every day of his life preparing for such a thing. And I want to say that I have an understanding that who you marry actually determines the quality of your life. Determines how long you live. Determines how well you live. Apart from being the decision to be born again, yeah. Who you marry is the next most important decision in your life.
That's right.
The second thing for me was that I had to look at what I hate.
Oh, interesting.
I had to look at what I didn't like. Bible says Jesus hated iniquity and loved righteousness. Right. So I needed to look at what I hated. Unlike many people who were born in the church and grew up in the church, I first met my wife. I was not born again. She was born again. And she tried to preach to me with all, like every zealous sister would. And I just listened to her. And she thought she converted me or something. And I told her, I said, keep it up.
Keep it up.
Keep it up. That was good. She was a jam bite and I was finally a student in the university. And so I graduated, went for NYC, and I got saved at NYC.
Wow.
And we're not going to have any relationship, but later the long story was that God began to show me that she was the one. So I knew things I hated. I hated troublesome homes.
Yeah. Kai.
And my parents' family was not the best.
Yeah.
I actually told my mom one time, if marriage is like yours and my dad, I'm not going to get married.
Simple.
And it hurt my mother, but I knew I was picking and choosing.
Yeah.
I knew things I hated. There were things I never wanted to happen in my family.
That's right.
Long before I met who I was going to marry, my mind, it became a stronghold in me. This will not happen in my life. This will not happen in my family. And the third thing is, I began to dream of what kind of home I wanted.
Oh.
I began to ask God, what is God's perfect picture?
Oh,
and I wanted to walk in that perfect picture, nothing less. For instance, I wanted a family where my daughters and I can sit down and we talk about who is the guy who is asking her out. And it's happening, amen?
Amen.
My daughter will tell me, oh, there's this guy, you know, he's a foolish guy. I'm like,
he's a frog, you know?
And I hear him and I hear her and I'm like, you're on the right track. You know, because if they can talk to you, it means that they have their senses intact.
Yep.
Now, she doesn't have to talk to me.
Yep.
But if she can talk to me, it means that, you know, she has confidence in me.
Yep.
To be able to tell me, I know the truth, I know the way, and I'm not going to miss it. So I think for me, those are the three things.
Wow, powerful, remarkable. Remarkable.
Okay. Praise the Lord. For me, the first thing was I decided, of course, to make Jesus Christ my Lord and my Savior. Now, why am I saying that? For me, that was the basis for every other thing. And making him Lord and Savior meant that he didn't just save me, Now I needed to listen to whatever he had to say concerning marriage, concerning life, concerning family. And that helped in creating other things. So for instance, the second thing I'll say is that just knowing what the Lord wanted helped me to decide that the first thing I needed from a man, any man, was I wanted somebody that was crazy about God. I knew one thing for sure. If this person is crazy about God, there are certain things that can't happen to me because God will be able to talk to the person.
That's right.
If God can't speak to your spouse or to your husband, then you're in
one
trouble.
Chance.
It's a big trouble. To be honest with you, sometimes I know that I'm a woman helped by God. I was so young, I didn't know some things, but somehow, by His Spirit, God was able to speak some things to me. And so, knowing I needed, you know, He was telling a story about when I spoke to Him. He listened to me. He, you know, I'm seeing the picture of what he was, that he used to fly his shirt. Can you imagine that? But I saw something. He was such a hardworking person because we used to meet at my guardian's house. We had the same guardian, so we'd go to the house to greet. And he was, I think, staying at the BQ then. I was staying in the house. So we'd wake up in the morning. I helped to do whatever chores I could do before I moved to the hostel finally. Then he would come. Then Hajia, we lived in a Muslim lady's house. Hajia had a stack of clothes that he would come in, I think on Saturdays, come in and press everything for her. And I used to wonder, wow.
Guys, it's work, guys.
I used to wonder how, why would he do such, you know, he didn't look like the kind of person that could do that. But later, of course, I found that he is a very highly domesticated person. So he'd come and talk. Then I thought, this is a nice guy, but believe you me, I had no thought about any romantic dealings with him. I just needed, what a nice guy. He needs Jesus
in his life.
Yeah.
Nothing attached.
That would complete this guy. So I sat down almost 1 hour telling him how much he needed the Lord. Yeah, and he looked at me after a while. He said, I like how you are. Stay like that. Thank you. That was all he said. And I'm like, gee, how can you say, if you like how I am, how come you don't want to give your life? But later, one thing I know about him, no pretense. Yeah. What you see is what you get. So I needed somebody who loved the Lord and who was, you know, true, you know, with all intentions. That was that. Then the third thing I would say that positioned me for a great marriage was, just like what he said, you want to marry a great wife or a great husband, who are you?
Who are you?
What are you doing with yourself? This is why people get married. Some people, you find husbands battering wives and everything. You do not develop yourself. So I recall reading lots of books on being the right woman, on being married, on what God considered to be a great wife. So those things, I believe, helped me throughout my
praise world. God. Hallelujah. Amen. What to you, man?
Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, one thing they both said, you know, that captured my attention was prayer. Okay. He said how that he prayed and God told him, okay, are you a husband yourself? Yeah. So sometimes when we pray for the spouse that God wants us, the light turns on us.
Yeah.
Okay, to build ourselves to be who God wants us to be. Hallelujah. For that person. Hallelujah. All right, so we'll just move to the next question, which is what do I look for in a prospective wife or husband? Now, with the media throwing a lot of unnecessary information and people getting in the garbage into their systems, you know, about who a man should be and who a wife should be and all of that. What is God's perspective about this? Who should I get as a wife? Who should I get as a husband? What are the qualities?
Okay, for me, I think I keep saying this over and over again. Life is a journey. And you're set on a journey. First of all, you look for someone who, because if we begin to use spiritual language sometimes, or people don't understand these things. life is a journey. So let me put it this way. Find someone who's going the same way with you. Simple. I keep telling people, you can't enter a bus or a car going to Bauchi and you are trying to go to, where now? Nasarawa State. These are two different zones. So if you are going to work with someone, you need somebody who understands where you are going, who, whatever it is the person is called to do or to be, it's like that which lights up your own soul. So when you are looking for someone to get married to, you need somebody who is called to that which you are called to. So in other words, you help one another, you complement one another. I can give you thousands of examples of things I had to do as a wife and as a lady, which my husband simply just helped because we believed in the same thing. And that would help even souls coming to the kingdom. That will help people finding their destinies. Let me give you just one simple example, for instance. A lady that was chased, because I lecture, I have students under me, of course, some who see you as someone they can come to and talk to. And we had one lady that was thrown away from the house for being pregnant at around, I think, 8 o'clock in the night. And all I had to do, she was stranded at Terminus during the time when the crisis was very serious. All I had to do, because I know his passion, I know what he would want. All I had to do was to tell him, there's a lady that is stranded, a sister to my former, to one of my students, and she needs a place to sleep this night. I don't know, she might have to stay with us for a while. And I told him, believe you me, all he said was, let me get the keys. And we got into the car and we went pick up that girl. The girl stayed with us for about 6 or 8 months, 7 months thereabout, gave birth to her baby. Unfortunately, the baby died, clearly because so many things had happened to the baby during that period. And that was it. Before we surrendered her back to her parents with counseling and all that. Now, if you don't marry the right person, that can't happen. So you enter the car or you enter your transitioning with the person who is going the same way with you. Amen.
Wow, praise God.
Last week, we were talking with the students in my university about what do you want in a marriage, and the sister who was anchoring was asking the audience to give suggestions, and they said, we like long hair, fair complexion, long legs, you know, and... You know, they chose about five things. Then she said, you don't want godly men? They say, okay, and that too. It's like, if you add to that, that would be good.
What a mistake.
When I married my wife, a neighbor of mine, who is now a member of a House of Assembly, asked his wife, had a conversation with his wife, said, why will he go and marry such an underage girl? Because my wife was really looking slim. He said he thought she was 14. And his wife said, no, that lady is not just a graduate. She's finished her NYSC. And he's like, wow, I didn't know. So she was very slim. You would never believe. Yes, you are still slim. You would never believe that she would add weight. Now, I'm saying that to make a point. What you marry now is not what will eventually be. It's just the starting point. So if you're marrying because someone is slim, you have already missed it. I used to be slimmer than this. My wife and her entire family were begging me to add weight. And I would not add weight. I tried everything in the book. I wouldn't. And I think it was just in the last 10 years that I added a bit of flesh. You don't marry somebody for what you are seeing now. 7 packs, 10 packs, they're not going to be there for long. So you want to marry that which is eternal.
Aye.
That which cannot be changed, cannot be shifted, cannot be bought, cannot be mortgaged. That's what you are looking for. When you go out to Southern Fry, you're not trying to find out how much the person can eat. You're trying to find, what's this person?
Yeah.
What is precious to this person? What do you hold dear?
Oh.
You know, my wife was talking about trying to marry somebody who loved God. And I was just a brother. And when she announced to her friends she was going to marry me, two of her friends stopped being her friends. They said, "We know you. You are a song minister. You should marry a pastor." And I wasn't a pastor. I was just a brother who just loved God for loving God. And she had a prayer partner who said, "Let's pray for NEPA." And I said, "Don't pray for NEPA. Go get your generator." And she's like, "This brother you are marrying, are you sure he's truly a brother?" And I was just radical. I just loved God. And that was who I was. This is who I am. And that's the quality everyone should look for. Does this person love and fear God? I'm not talking about, does this person go to church? Is this person a church worker? Does this person love God? 2 weeks before we had we married, we had given out our cards, and then she did something that annoyed me, and I used to have anger problems. I could get so angry I wouldn't eat. So righteous, I would keep the anger for days. That was me. And I thought I had arrived. And when she annoyed me, the next morning I was just praying. And God said, "You are right in what you are doing." I said, "Yeah, I am." "She's wrong, isn't she?" I said, "She's very, very wrong." And God said, "All right, get down your high horse. Go and apologize to her." Oh, you hear that? So I said to God, "It doesn't make sense. I was right. She was wrong. How do I go in my rightness and apologize to that person who is wrong?" And, well, because I love God, I obeyed God. And I went to her and I said, "Sorry about yesterday. I was really angry." And the moment I said that, she burst out crying and cried and cried. And I was like, "Oh, this is how it works." Good one, good one. You know, the point I'm making is not just somebody who is a believer, somebody who will respond to God in all things. Because the person will respond to God today, in the next 100 years, the person will still respond to God. That is not going to ever change. That's what you want to find. How does the person respond to God? It will reflect on how they respond to their parents, how they respond to situations and circumstances around them.
Remarkable. Amen. Remarkable. You see, somebody wants to get married to a person who doesn't know how to hear God. You see, if you don't know how to hear God, how are you going to respond to God? Now, we're not being overly spiritual. We have your interest at heart. This is why we're saying this. Okay. So there are things you should look out for. You can't say, okay, they see your parents, they want to marry you. This guy doesn't know how to hear God. How do you hear from God? He says, "Sometimes God speaks to me in dreams. Sometimes, you know those vague things that boys and girls say? Those vague things that ladies and gentlemen say? Very vague. Please, let the man have faith receipts." Amen. That means there's a track record of your walk with God. There's a track record of a walk with God. Amen. Well, I'm not saying the person should be a pastor. Don't marry title. Marry a person.
Can I add something to this? I'll speak particularly to the men, but I think it applies to the women as well. Two things struck me about Adam and Isaac. Yeah. One was that when Eve was going to be created, Adam was not conscious. Yeah. The Bible says a deep sleep. God put him on a deep sleep, and then he created Eve. Guys, if you can't go into a deep sleep, you're not going to find that wife. Mm. That deep sleep means you're not deliberately, consciously looking for, I like this, I like that, I like this, I like that. You immerse yourself in God, and then God is creating what you want. And the day what you want comes, you say, "This is the rib of my rib." With Isaac, his father's faithful servant was sent to go and get a wife from him. And given some criteria from our family, from our people, don't take from one of these and all of that. And Isaac didn't go with him. He was meditating in the field. He was there and meditating. Brother, you have to find that lady meditating. And when this man went and found the woman, he also asked God, connect me to the right woman. When I ask for this, let that woman be eager to give me water and all of that. And when he met Rebecca, Rebecca gave him water. She began to water camels. Do you know how many buckets of water camels drink? Ladies, not slay Rebecca. This was a Rebecca that was Proverbs 31.
Yeah. Value adding.
Value adding Rebecca. And when he saw her, he said, this is the woman. I just want to take her back. And so took her back to Isaac. The point is that in both situations, you have to trust God.
Yeah.
You have to trust God. You would never find a person to marry without a triangle. That person is there. You are here. God is there. If you connect with God, you can connect with the person.
Yeah.
If you don't connect with God, you will not be able to connect with that person.
Hallelujah.
That God wants you to be. And lastly, you know, when we talk about connecting with God, somehow we are always suspicious of God.
Always.
When we say trust God, the will of God, somehow you just think, let me not go and start trusting God now. He'll give me a hunchback.
Yeah.
He'll give me someone I don't like. There is a suspicion.
Oh.
There's a suspicion that begins to, you know, grow in your heart. And that suspicion is the same thing the devil told Adam in the garden, or told Eve. Did God really say? Take it away. God knows who you are. He created you. He knows what is best for you. I can tell you, this woman is what I always wanted. Because God knew her and he knew what he created in me. So if you don't trust God, the first thing, trust him and he will bring it to pass.
Hallelujah. Is somebody crying over there? Is somebody trying to cast? Just relax. Amen. Now, I put up a third question. Maybe you could just add when you respond to. I crafted it this way. Okay. Because this primarily applies to those who are already married. Amen. The married folks in the house. And, of course, you can learn that before you get married. Now, someone will say, a great marriage is automatic once I marry the right person. And I want you to respond, true or false, then explain. A great marriage is automatic once I marry the right person. So we have journeyed from knowing who is the right person to marrying the right person. Now you've married the right person. Okay, this is bone of your bone, flesh of your flesh. It's doing legally, tingling you, whatever you want. Okay, good person, kingdom values. Now, does that translate automatically to having a great marriage? True or false? If it's true, explain. If it's false, explain.
False.
It's
all right.
False.
Did we get that? We get that framing, right? It's false.
False, because I believe and I've seen over the years, if you ask me, at least over the 24 years plus, marriage is work.
It's work. Praise God.
You work on your marriage. You take your time to build the marriage. Because both of you come from different backgrounds and have known different things over the years and all that. There are so many things that would have to either change or be adjusted or be grown or be groomed. There's so much in marriage that has to be done. But one thing I'd always say, the day you make up your mind that you're getting married to somebody, one of the first things I would say is that that's the day you begin to die to self. Self begins to die. It's more like, it's almost like saying to marry is to begin to die to self, or to die more to self. Because if you've given your life to Christ, you died. And God raised you up. Now you begin to live again. But when you choose, or when he has given you somebody to walk with, what he's saying is there's much more to be done with your life now. And I say this all the time, sometimes, and this is why there are different types of people. There are some. I remember the first time I told someone, you know, you should even ask God whether you should marry. The person was like, no. What kind of question is? What is that? I don't believe it's everyone that should marry.
Same here.
That's the truth. Of course, because there are some eunuchs for the Lord. Yeah. But at the same time, if you ask me, maybe there are more percentages of people to marry than those not to marry. Because it's not everyone that can stay. But once you have ascertained, when he came and he asked me, one of the first things I told him is, because I was having such a blast with God, I wasn't even sure I wanted to marry.
Bye.
Okay? So when he asked me, I said, give me time. And that was before he finally popped the question. But before then, God had told me, this is the person. In fact, I was given a warning. When he comes, you say yes.
Yeah, because she was playing hard to get.
I wasn't playing hard to get. I needed to be sure. Because singleness is a blessing. It's not a curse. Singleness is a time to even know who you are, what you want, what you don't want, how you want to live, who you are. I used to take myself out for lunches. Good. Dinners, you know. So, that is it.
it's not automatic because marriage is like a farmer or a gardener who is cultivating something.
Praise God.
The weed you allow to grow will return to torment your marriage. Mm-hmm. The fertilizer you apply will help it to grow appropriately. It's a lot of work. But it is part of your growth as a child of God. Mm-hmm. Everything God wants you to become is put in that context. Mm-hmm. I remember counseling somebody some years ago. He came and was telling me how his wife was totally bad and all of that. So I quoted a scripture to him and said, husbands, do not be bitter towards your wife. Mm-hmm. He said, it's in the Bible. I said, it's there. Look at it. Your wife is the one that is anointed to make you bitter.
Yeah. It's the anointing that comes with
you. And the Bible says, do not be bitter towards them. You see, any lady can annoy you and you won't bother.
Yeah.
But if your wife annoys you, it can make you bitter towards her.
Yeah.
And the Bible says, don't be bitter towards her. So when we got married initially, I said to her, we're at a student's program, architecture students or so. They say, what's love? And they were saying, love is one, one, one. And I told them, I said, no, love is a commitment.
That's right.
And my wife said, no, it's not just commitment, it's love. But now she has agreed with me that love is a commitment. Because it's that commitment that keeps the one, one, one going. It's a commitment. There are things I will never do to you. Is a commitment. There are things I must always do to you. It doesn't matter whether I like it or not. I am under commandment to love my wife. And the Lord, my Lord, commands me. It's not because she likes it. It's not because she demands it. It's because my Lord. So I work at obeying my Lord in loving my wife.
Amazing. You should marry a Christian, don't you think so? Especially to the ladies. They are the ones that fall my hand all the time. How can you hear this and go and marry someone that smokes, who doesn't go to church, goes to church only on Thanksgiving, he drinks, his family church, and then because they say, okay, you know, God loves us and all that, and then don't be a slave of your feelings. It's the most stupid thing you can do to yourself. You know what you've been taught. You know what to expect spiritually. Fine boy does not sustain you. When they slap you and you see the stars, the six packs you can't remember. When they throw you out, the romantic talk flies out of the window. Do you understand? You need to marry a person who is subject to God, who is accountable to God, and also who is accountable to God's system on the earth. Who can correct his madness?
Yes.
Who can talk to him? Don't marry a man who is not under authority. Every man must have somebody who can say, sit down there, my friend. Is something wrong with you? Any man who does not have it, if you marry the person, you have entered one chance.
Praise God. Hallelujah. What an awesome time. I'm having a great time here. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Okay, I believe this last question is going to bring healing to people's marriages. Amen. You know, makeup is good. Good clothes are good. Good cologne is very awesome. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah. But these are some of the things that hide what people are truly going through in their marriages. So I would like to ask, what would you say to someone who is going through difficult times in their marriages right now, and who probably have even said, I made a mistake by marrying this person? What would you say to such a person? Because when somebody says, I made a mistake, they don't believe that there is anything that can, any good thing that can come out of that bad situation that they're in. So please.
Well, we have talked about the ideal. But there are situations and circumstances where people have already gone into things and it was later they realized, I shouldn't have done this, I shouldn't have done that, but I'm in it, what do I do now? I think the first thing is this person ready to stay with you with your knowledge of Christ that you have now? If the person is willing to stay with you and tolerate you, 1 Corinthians 7 talks about these things, the unbelieving spouse. If the person is ready to stay with you, it will be difficult. But then the challenge is back to you to be Christ-like. And perhaps you can win this person. But sometimes this person may not just be willing. This person will try out. And to be Christ-like doesn't mean that the person just sees you in Christ and he says, oh, that's nice. It means that the person will try out the Christ-likeness in you to prove whether or not you believe what you are doing. You will go through long suffering to prove whether this thing you believe is true. Mm. And that process of proving will be the time when this person gets converted. That person proves that this thing you believe is true and I would like to be part of it. Yeah. And of course, you are praying for the person. It's not an automatic answer. There is no easy answer out of that. But ask God what you should do. And I know God will guide you. He will lead you. He will even tell you what to say at what time to such a person.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord. I think, first of all, you are fortunate to hear these things before it's time for you to get married, for those who are not married. And these are the kind of things that God is trying to save you from. You do not have to. The Bible talks about having these as our examples. You see things by example. You learn by example. You don't have to go through some things. I have a daughter today that talks to us even about marriage. She's not married yet because she submits to the word, because she sees also examples. We don't have to go through it to learn because God gives us that, the wisdom, the knowledge, and all that we need for life and godliness. He gives us all this. But if, by adventure, you are already in it, one thing I believe, and that's been the almost like a core of my life, is the fact that nothing dies in God.
Oh.
Nothing. I don't care how dead it's been. I don't care how dead he's been. But nothing dies in God. Because if you go back to him, the first thing is to acknowledge your mistakes. Acknowledge that this, I didn't go by it the right way. By the way, marriage is God's idea.
Yeah.
Marriage, God has a blueprint for marriage. So all it takes is if we believe that God is this God that he says he is, God is, he's not a man that he should lie. So if he tells you I can remedy a situation, believe you me, he can remedy the situation. So if you have such issues, go back to him. Start from the scratch. He would even tell you probably one thing. I say this, that between two Christians, there are always just something that I would say is the difference. One that listens to instruction, the other that does not listen to instruction. If he tells you this is what to do, there's an instruction. He's giving you an instruction. The instruction he will give to me for my marriage is different from what he will give to you for your marriage. Because he knows the pace. He knows where you are at. He knows what phase you are in your marriage. So listen to instruction. Whatever it is, I believe that God can handle it. Amen.
Wow. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Remarkable. Remarkable. Just before going to the question and answer session, remember I told you about Bill Winston's story. How many of you remember that? Very instructive. Bill Winston has been married for over 40 years now, I believe. almost 40 years, around 81, 82. Amen. If it's not more than 40 years. Now, he said he just got married, a believer. In fact, a minister. He was in the marketplace at the time. And then he said, divorce was smelling in the air. He said he saw his wife could not cook. His wife had attitude. This, everything. Divorce was already on his mind. And then he went to the Lord. And then the Lord spoke to him to begin to create a new picture of his wife. And then, like daily, he will confess Proverbs 31, mentioning his wife's name. He said, began to do that. He said, first, suddenly, his picture, the picture he had on his mind concerning his wife changed. That was the first thing. He just began to see her differently. And then she began to live out the things he was declaring, the things he was saying. That's powerful, isn't it? Yeah. And the word of God produced the result. You see, when you tell yourself there is a road out called divorce, you will not be committed to do what God wants you to do.
Yeah.
The first door you must shut is that door of divorce. That's the first shot.
Throw away the key.
Shut the door, throw away the key to the bottomless pit. Yeah. Do you understand? You tell yourself there's nothing this man can do except he walks away and just runs, and there's nothing this woman can do. Do you understand? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. If I, when he runs, I'll follow him. When she runs, I'll follow her. Do you understand? I'll make efforts. Glory to God. The moment you close that door, you are ready to begin work. I've said this again and again. Marriage is not a contract. Marriage is a blood covenant. The only way out of blood covenant is death. Have it together. And that is very important. That means the moment you marry a person, it becomes your blood covenant partner. You inherit their weaknesses as well as their strength. Most times we think it's just the strength we inherit and we enjoy. Newsflash. You inherited their weaknesses too. Yeah. Amen. That means you have to sit with them as their blood covenant partner to work things out. If they like women, you have to pray them out of it.
Yes.
If he's a rude and arrogant woman, you have to pray and love out of it. Are we together? Yeah. Disrespectful woman, you pray and love out of it. I don't care what it is. You will sit there and work it out as a believer. Are we together? Are we together?
Yes. Can I say something about
love to God forevermore?
Loving her out of it. The first year of our marriage, you know, I thought I was a very strong guy and I would just change this lady in a flash. And I had a shocker of my life. There was nothing I tried to do that was working.
Interesting.
And one morning, I had it up to my neck. And early in the morning, I went to God and I prayed. And I told God, you know, this thing is so difficult. How can't she see what I'm seeing and so on? And I prayed and cried and worshiped God and I made up my mind. Today, Lord, I give it over to you. I want to do it your own way. Then I went to the office. I came back in the evening at 5 o'clock and my wife handed me a letter that she wrote to me. Now, when your wife writes you a letter and you are living in the same house, she didn't go to the post office. That's a serious matter. And in that letter, the summary of it is that I die. And that transaction I was having that morning
affected her.
Calabai. It enabled God to do what I thought I could do and I couldn't do. And so when I change, God changes her. So I need to change. And that's the power that God uses to change the other person.
Remarkable. Oh boy. Oh boy. Wow. I am blessed. All right. We'll take questions now. Maybe take one question first, then I take this out.
Okay. Praise the Lord. This person said, thank you, sir, for this opportunity to ask my question. I heard someone say, love is not a necessity to picking a man or a woman. Please, sir, what is your take on this?
I'm sure they're talking about love as a feeling.
As a feeling that you're about to feel what you have not felt before.
Is this an
that's love. Unfortunately, that's not the definition of love.
Yeah.
For God so loved the world, he gave. Love is about giving. Is this someone you want to give yourself to? Is this someone that you can honestly not to impress your friends or your parents. But is this somebody I can submit myself to? Is this somebody I can honor? Is this somebody I can love? I can be committed to? There is a time those feelings come. Hey, even if you have a dog, you begin to have a feeling for the dog.
That's right.
That you bought as a puppy.
It's as simple as that.
It grows. It grows. And I always tell my wife with every passing year, I love her so much now. I wonder what happened 24 and a half years ago when I married her. Compared to how I love her now, that time it was, I don't know what I was doing. But now I know what I'm doing. Because I love her more. I understand her more. I can predict what she can say. She can virtually take the words out of my mouth. She knows where I'm going before I start. You know, so that connection comes over time.
Over time.
But that does not mean there are not things that you see and you like about the person. Sometimes the way the person lives, sometimes the way the person worships, sometimes what I love about my wife was when she is accurate in God. When she's smack up there, there's nobody compared to her. She's just it. And I love that. So every time I try to encourage her to get to that place, because that's the perfect wife that I like. And once she's there, I love her like Kilode.
Oh boy. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay, I think that answers that. Please. Good day, sir. Ma. Please, is kissing allowed in a Christian relationship? I was expecting this. Amen. Is kissing allowed in a Christian relationship? Some of you have been kissing. May God have mercy on you. May God have mercy on you. You think God has changed because we are in the 21st century, Abby? Let her talk.
First, okay, is kissing allowed? Now, let me just put it this way.
The Bible doesn't say thou shalt not kiss.
But let me put it this way. We didn't want to do all of that because, I don't know, these days, I even see things posted on Facebook.
It's amazing.
Things, even just reading it, I swear, they are not even talking to me. I'm like, oh, God. You know, I know the generation has changed. I know things have changed.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we must be honest about some things. The rules of God, that which God wants, I don't think they change over the years. Is it allowed? I would say no. We kept, for one, I keep saying this. I didn't know a man before I got married. Yep. He was my husband. He was the first man I ever met. There were things I didn't even know about, and I didn't think they were right. If I begin to tell you some things that we had to adjust even as we went on, you would laugh and almost die here. But, but it's true. I think sometimes it's better not to start what you cannot continue.
Yep.
When you begin to kiss and go on, how do you know how? Yes, it's lighting a fire. Do you light a fire and not be burnt? I don't think it is. It's okay. I think don't. And this is why we encourage people when we are counseling, like younger ones and everything, stay in the open. Stay where these things don't ignite.
Yeah.
When we talk about emotions, can be very strong. Emotions can be very high. Why encourage what you cannot control? And these things about kissing, you move. They are in degrees.
You keep moving.
And one thing about emotional degrees would be that you break one barrier, you move to the next one. You break the next one, you move to the next one.
Yeah.
Before you know what's happening, somebody is sitting
in the Holy
down.
Of Holies.
You know, I like that question because it's a sincere question.
Sincere.
In this generation, I think kiss is like
it's
everybody
water.
Is doing it. It's like hugging.
Yeah.
So let's move on to say, is sex allowed also in a relationship? It's one of the areas, you know, how much does this person fear or respect God?
Yeah.
The amazing thing is, if somebody can kiss you and do all kinds of things with you when you are not married, there is no guarantee that after you marry, this person won't do it to someone else.
No guarantee.
Because the person doesn't have boundaries. And so when you start, you want to keep certain boundaries. You want to honor God in that relationship. And I've heard talking to young people over the years, how will I know if I'm a good kisser? Come on. There's no school of kissing. You will learn on the job. There's nothing like that. Okay, so if you are not a good kisser, what happens? And if you are a good kisser, what happens? There are all kinds of dying lies that the devil just tells people. When you are single, is the time to learn to put yourself in boundaries. Even as a married man of how many years plus, I have ladies send messages to me, darling and all of that, and I send to them,
Error.
And I tell my wife, she was somebody. And people have been approaching her as well. If you don't have boundaries, marriage is not going to suddenly create boundaries.
No.
Marriage. So you are practicing your boundaries from now.
Oh, excellent. I just love that. That nails it. You are practicing your boundaries from now. And for me, really, that's what it's about. That's what it's about. You know, you may not say it in the Bible, thou shalt not kiss. Okay. But it's about practicing your boundaries. Practicing your holding back. Praise God. See, the truth is, they have said it all. They have said it all. I'm hoping you're hearing. Okay. Someone say, in this generation, that's like he said, it's like hawking now. But you make a decision. Okay. What do I want? Okay. What do I want? It's about honoring the Lord. And you start from there. If you put a ban on kissing, chances are you will never have sex before you're married.
That's right.
That's the truth. Of course, kissing and other touches.
You hurry to get married.
Thank
too.
You. And personally, I don't... And personally, let me just give general counsel. I don't believe in long relationships. Amen. Except it's long distance. I don't believe in long relationship. Okay. Yeah. Our generation is hypersensitized sexually. That's the truth. So why are you in a relationship with someone for 4 years? For in the same city. You go to his house. Now, for me personally, general counsel, please forget relationship until you are close to getting married.
Yes. When you are ready.
I'm telling you the truth. That's what I believe. That's what I practiced. Amen. So it's the truth. I love you. I want you. I love you. I can't, 2-3 years. I can't hug you. You understand? Okay. So for me, generally, if I told myself medical school, no relationship. I met my wife final year and all that. We got married 5 years later and all that. But please, it's a valid counsel for some of you. Avoid relationship when the date of marriage is not certain and it's not close. Press into the Lord. Have nice friends. Handle your feelings. It will keep you safe. There are complications that come from these untamed sexual lives. They are complications. It makes things complex. That's the truth. It makes things complex. You can say, okay, they were in the old generation. At least I try in your generation. But I've told you here again and again, we did not have sex until our wedding night. Amen. And there were many things we did not know really. And married as virgins.
I'm glad to hear this.
Yes.
We didn't have sex on our marriage night. We decided.
We almost did not.
We stretched it. We stretched it. Because stop tapping me, that's the truth. Now, this is the reason. This is the reason. When the internet tells you it's all about sex. You must have sex. You must have sex. You must have sex. You want to stretch it further.
Yep.
You want to, if God says it is possible to abstain, there is grace to abstain.
That's right.
Praise God. Next question. Remarkable.
Hallelujah. It's actually beautiful when you learn it in marriage. Hallelujah. All right, this next question says, how will you authentically know the person you're dating is a right and accurate person for you?
We have talked. We've talked already. I think we'll jump that because of our time. Okay. Next question. Pastor, how do you let go a lady that has set herself like a flint to make sure... Hold on. Okay. Calm down now. Just calm down. She has set herself like a flint to make sure you both get in a relationship and marry. Okay. Hold on. When the guy just care about her growth without wanting dating or marriage for incompatibility reason. You just feel we're not compatible as far as relationship marriage is concerned, but we're just friends. I help her grow, but she has set her face as a flint.
Praise the Lord.
Shagaba. Okay.
Praise the Lord. I think the first thing is simply tell the person the truth. Yep. Start from the place of truth. There's nothing as liberating as people knowing the truth.
Yep.
I am from what I read, I heard there, the person is saying all you want is just the growth of the person. Yep. So why don't you tell her? I'm not in this for any relationship. I care about your soul. I care about your growth. And that was what I wanted to do. If in any way I gave you a wrong impression,
I'm
very sorry about that. We can't. And if that person will listen to the truth, even if she's the one, she will let you go.
Yeah.
So that you go with time, you would know whether it's a person or not. But the worst thing you can do to yourself is marry the wrong person for whatever reason. Pity, whatever it is. Marriage is beautiful only in the right context. Marriage is beautiful only because God says it's beautiful. If you get into the wrong... I knew of a professor that he's late now because of troubles in his home. He would finish work and take a ride through Ring Road and stay there till evening. Because the wife has to go to bed before he enters the house. How can anybody live like that? Nobody can. So there is no reason. You do not love this person more than God loves the person.
Yep.
You need to know that. So let's stop pretending we are trying to win a soul.
No.
You do not love them more than God loves them. When you get to the point where God allows you, stop and let go.
Amen. I don't know Praise if you God. Want to Hallelujah. The last question, and then we move into... Are you enjoying yourself in this service? Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay, and also in line with what she said, you don't love anybody more than God. You see, when your relationship with the person, in attempt to help the person spiritually, is tending towards carnality, run for your life,
flee.
I told the brother that the person is, before the person has kissed you, you understand, you're not interested, you're just a friend, all those funny things. And you say, no, she has to be, I'm the one who is to help her in this phase of her life. That's a lie. You are not the one. Don't play God. Run for your soul first. Do you understand? You are not interested in this person. This person loves you so much. And even getting carnal around you, run. Let the person be. Look, I told myself, yes, I did not die for anybody, any sister. I did not. Okay, so there are lines he cannot cross. Praise God. All right, last question. Good morning, Pastor Sir. Is it okay to marry a guy that is the only one progressing in his family? Now, listen, this is a very, very interesting question. And like there's something about his other sibling that is not godly at all. He's a believer, he's progressing, but the whole family. Nice question.
It's a good question, especially in Africa, where we marry into a family. That's our wife. And the tendency, they can move into your house and then you have all kinds of issues. But you're marrying one individual. You're worrying that person. You need to convince yourself. You need to have the conviction that this person is right for me. God can rearrange all the circumstances around this one person. If you look at his family to decide whether or not to marry him, you're looking at the wrong picture.
That's right.
You could be marrying somebody who is the only person saved in an entire clan.
That's right. That's
yeah.
Right.
I'm not saying they are not going to church, but in terms of knowing God, this is the person. That's what you need to convince yourself. God can change the situations and the circumstances around that person. That's his specialty. And you could be one of the tools God will use to do that. But you need to agree. Be sure. This is what God wants me to do. And once you are sure of that, you tag team with the person. I'm sure the person too is looking for somebody who can stand with him in that thing. I'm not saying mother-in-law, father-in-law, siblings, they are not important. But what's this man's take when it comes to his family? Will he choose family ahead of God? Will he choose the ways of God before his family? Those are the things that help you make up your mind. What is his perception of those who are not saved? Is he praying for them? Is he trusting God for their salvation? Or is he saying, you know, they are juju people, fire will burn them and all of that? You know, you need to know his psyche, his understanding, his mind. And that will help you in the decision that you need to take.
Wow. Can you put your hands together for them? Amen. Amen. With the standing ovation, can we celebrate? It's a wonderful couple. Is that the best you can do? Is that the best you can do? We celebrate you, sir. We celebrate you, ma. Thank you for such a wonderful... Can we celebrate First Lady? Amen.
We believe the Word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.